We go on with the fragrance and the words of the Buddha, mistaking the false for the true, and the true for the false. You overlook the heart and fill yourself with desire. Wake up, see the false as false, the true as true. Look into your heart, follow your nature. An unreflecting mind is a poor roof. Passions, emotions, mind, like the rain, will flood your house. But if the roof is strong, there is shelter. Whoever follows impure thoughts will suffer in this world and the next. In both worlds, he suffers. And how greatly when he sees the wrong he has done, how he has wasted his time. But whoever follows the law, the truth, the light, is joyful here and joyful there. In both worlds he rejoices. And how greatly when he sees the good he has done. For great is the harvest in this world, and greater still in the next. However many holy words you read, however many holy words you speak, what good will they do when you do not act on them? Are you a beggar, a shepherd who is counting another man's sheep, never sharing the way? Read as few words as you like, and speak even fewer, but act upon the law, upon the truth. Give up the old ways, passion, anger, deceit. Know the truth and find peace and share the way. The ego is very dense. The habits are very strong. So all the Buddhas is trying to remind you and put it as simple as possible so you understand. Because that is the beginning that the mind itself understands and accepts the truth. Already then, when the mind accepts things as they are, it relaxes. And it can start going deeper. If the mind has never heard the truth, if the ego has never been shaken up by the truth, you can always live in ignorance. But as soon as you've been touched by something beyond the mind, beyond your thoughts, beyond the ego, there will be a longing, a remembrance in your very being, in your heart. Buddha says, mistaking the false for the true, and the true for the false, you overlook the heart and fill yourself with desire. This he said 2,500 years ago. Now it's million times worse. Mistaking the false for the true, and the true for the false. No, people laugh of the truth. where is the truth in the world? Who is respecting the masters, the gurus, the mystics? It's totally forgotten. In Buddha day, even the emperors went to the guru. Even the saints were respected more than the kings. The kings maybe ruled the country, the land, but the saints was ruling the beyond. He could show you something eternal. No, that is totally forgotten. Everything is on the materialistic, on money, on image, on the body, on the false. And people laugh about the real. Everything is upside down. And that is very shocking to realize. It will shake you up to the very core, and that's why so few people want to listen to the truth, because it will stir you up. You will have to change to be more real. There is no way, because you're coming from living in a world mistaking the false for the true, and the true for the false. Everything is the mind. Everything is in your thoughts. Everything is outside. You are not centered in your own being. If you are centered and know your own self, then you are unshakable, even in this mess, this life of commercials and lies, because you know. But if not, then again and again you will get sucked away. Impure thoughts, mind, ideas. Mistaking the false for the true and the true for the false, you overlook the heart and fill yourself with desire. And Buddha, when he means the heart, remember, it is clarity. He means the clarity of your being, that you can see things as they are. That you can only see when you go beyond your imagination, which is your mind. So being lost in the lies, in desires, in the falls, you overlook the heart. You have forgotten the heart. You have forgotten your own clarity. Instead, you fill yourself with desires. Because you have forgotten your own inner wealth, your own inner clarity, your own inner diamond, you look outside for something that will make you happy, something that will make you rich, something that will make you content. And you are sitting on a gold mine yourself. But that you oversee. Because only through the heart can you find back. Seeing the false as false, the true as true, look into your heart. Follow your nature. This is the recipe to come back. First, you have to see the false as the false, the true as true. But remember, he doesn't say, see the true as true. He starts with seeing the false as false. You have to see what is false first. That is also a trick of the mind. You can focus on the beauty. Oh, I'm love, I'm happy. Oh, everything is fine. But remember, you have to see the false first. Otherwise, you are just hiding the false. You can create the spiritual ego also, which is more heavy than just an ordinary ego. You have to look into your darkness. What is the darkness? That is the false. Your blindness, your blind spots. See the false as false. Then when you see the false as false, all your stuff that you have been protecting, then things can start changing. That is when, only then can responsibility start happening. That's what I mean with responsibility. To have the courage to look at yourself and then roll up your sleeves and say, okay, I'm going to clean up no matter what. Look into your heart. And you can never look into your heart before you have seen that the false is false and the true as true, when things are real. Only then can you look into your heart. Follow your nature. That is also something when always confuse seekers. The mystic says, follow your nature. Be yourself. Be ordinary, be innocent. Just relax, be yourself. Then the ego says, oh, what's the point of changing then? I'm just myself. But remember, when I say just be yourself, when Buddha said just be natural, you first have to see the false as false. You first have to transform yourself. You have to first give yourself a clarity. Otherwise, the ego just take it as an excuse. Oh, I can just stand like that. I'm already God. There is no need to meditate. There is no need to look at oneself. You have to understand your patterns. That is the hard work. Seeing the false as false, the true as true, look into your heart, follow your nature. And that can only be done by going deeper. Because your true nature, as the Buddha talks about, is much deeper, is beyond your mind. Only when you are centered and devoted to truth, to the Buddha, to your heart, can you go beyond and follow your nature. First, you have to come in touch with your nature. And what is the way to go deeper? Only by meditation. By going in, which is the most difficult. And the more you are lost outside, the more difficult it is to go in. So effort is needed. Discipline is needed to come back. Yes, there is an end of any effort, of any discipline. But that comes by itself. An unreflecting mind is a poor roof. Passion, anger, emotions, like the rain, floods your house. But if the roof is strong, there is shelter. An unreflecting mind is a poor roof. And that's what you have, a mind that is cloudy, that cannot see things as it is. In that cloudy mind, suddenly you see, oh, somebody is following me. I saw a monster. Your imagination, your mind runs berserk in that unreflective mind. It's not clear. The master wants you to have a reflective mind. Reflective mind is not thinking. It is reflection, like in the mirror. That is the master's mind. It's not polluted by his own thoughts. When you are not polluted by your own inner mind, your thoughts, your projections, your ideas, then you become reflective. You become like a mirror. You just see, observe what is happening outside. Like they have in almost all the languages of the world, the eyes are the mirror of the soul. But that is totally forgotten. You have to clean your eyes of your dust, of your cloudiness, that it becomes a clear mirror of the soul. An unreflective mind is a poor roof. Passions, emotions, like the rain, floods the house. Then you are not happy. When the roof is leaking, you are never happy, because there's always a problem then. I don't know if you have lived in any house. Of course you have, especially the Brazilians. I have lived in many houses. What to say about in India? When I came, I lived in the bamboo hut. How can you keep that? I only had straw, grass on the roof. It was leaking all over. You couldn't relax there. You couldn't sleep. In the rainy season, it was not very cozy. Not only that, but the clothes never dried either, because it was always rain. That is a poor roof. And that's how it is in your inner world, because all the things is not real. So instead of making you safe, feeling peace, I can relax, it's not leaking. It's so many thoughts, so many problems, so many fantasies, so many projections, so many explanations. Instead of starting fixing your roof, you have to do it yourself. It's your house. But if the roof is strong, there is shelter. And how does the roof become strong? By coming back to yourself and living in tune, by surrendering, by letting go, by becoming real, by not being pulled out and getting involved in the 10,000 things that can always keep you occupied. You become more centered. You start understanding more. That's what I mean by responsibility. You don't get so entangled. Because people always will have trips. And they will always try to make you entangled. So it's very important for the one who wants to find peace, who wants to find themselves, be more on guard. Don't be so entangled. Put yourself first, your own intuition. Trust yourself instead of trusting the other. You have to be strong in yourself. But when the roof is strong, then there is shelter. And the roof becomes very strong when you are devoted to the truth, to love. You become one with existence. Then it's not even your, the roof gets fixed for you. That's the amazing thing. You cannot believe it because you have put so much effort to do things, but in surrendering, everything will be taken care of. Because you are already protected. Whoever follows impure thoughts will suffer in this world and the next. In both worlds he will suffer. And how greatly when he sees the wrong he has done. When you start waking up, then you see, oh my God, how can I get entangled in so much rubbish? How could I suffer so much unnecessary? Whoever follows impure thoughts, and everybody follows impure thoughts because they follow the mind. It's your inner thinking, your words, your ideas that is leading you. You have to get in contact with something out of clarity. And the Buddhas, there is no impure thought and pure thoughts as such. This is just the translation into English. Impure thoughts are thoughts itself. Pure thoughts is clarity. The mind thinks and it's split in negative and positive. So, for a Buddha, both is polluted because it comes from your conditioning. So you can be a so-called bad person, a murderer, a rapist, a thief, a pedophile. Then it's bad. Then you can be good, you can be a priest. But oops, suddenly he was a pedophile too. You can read the scriptures. You can be Mother Teresa. But maybe inside is all confusion, all darkness, all judgments for the others. Then the mind becomes holier than thou. I'm very clean, the others are bad. It's the same thing. You have to go beyond the purity of the mind for not finding a better word. Is no mind. It's your heart. That is your nature. Because the heart, in the language of the Buddhas, is not split, is one. Even the physical brain is split in half, two parts, the negative and the positive. The heart is one. So the heart, not the physical heart, but the spiritual heart, comes out of clarity, seeing, is not clouded, is not leaking, and is never in doubt. The mind is always in doubt because it's split. So he could even say this transformation, whoever follows the mind, whoever follows impure thoughts, suffer in this world and the next. In both worlds he suffer, and how greatly when he sees the wrong he has done. He's saying you have spent the whole life just being a slave of your thoughts. Then on your deathbed you will suffer, because life could be much more happy if you hadn't been a slave of your instincts, of your desires, of your mind. But whoever follows the law is joyful here and joyful there. In both worlds he rejoices. And how greatly when he sees the good he has done. And how can one see that, the good he has done? He can see that when there is clarity, when you are out of your suffering mind. Only then you can see. And when you are out of your mind, then you can never get entangled in suffering itself. It's a totally different dimension of your being. It's just finished like that, because it's like taking the lift up. It's a totally different story now. This has nothing to do with the ground floor. It's a total change. You have left the mind, your suffering, your problems, your projections, your jealousy, your anger. Everything is left behind, because now you start functioning out of your truth, your purity. Whoever follows the law is joyful here and joyful there. And this is the tricky part, because you cannot follow. You have to go deeper, so you're not the slave of the normal you. Something has to take over. You have to become a servant of God, of love, of truth, of clarity itself. Whoever follows the law is joyful here and joyful there. In both worlds he rejoices, and how greatly when he sees the good he has done. That is ecstasy. Hallelujah. Because you know that what existence or God wanted, it in some miraculous way it happened. Then is only hallelujah. How could that happen to that stupid person I was? It's a miracle. That is the only miracle. It's a total change. It's just like, how can a seed become a big tree? No seed thinks about that. In nature, as a seed, it happens by itself. But for human beings, it is only their potential, a possibility. They have to be understanding longing, courageous enough to break their shell, their protection, so something else can start growing. Great is the harvest in this world, and greater still in the next. Because when you are following and are devoted to the truth, to the Dhamma, like Buddha says, then that will take care of you, and it's unlimited. He will provide everything. For great is the harvest in this world. Because no, you are not a beggar anymore. You are like a king, like a queen. Then everything is provided for. Great is the harvest in this world. Because you are not the beggar. You have already what you came for as a human being. Then everything else will be supplied. Is this already too much? You are already getting too much. Everything will be provided for. And greater still in the next. However many holy words you read, however many you speak, what good will they do if you do not act upon them? Are you a shepherd who counts another man's sheep, never sharing the way? Read as few words as you like and speak even fewer, but act upon the law. However many holy words you read, however many you speak, what good will they do if you do not act upon them? And that is another dilemma now. Because you can read any holy book for any great master, for any great tradition in the whole world. And then that can fool you. That you think you know. But it's just your intellectual mind. You're feeding the mind of knowledge. And all that knowledge has to go. That's how many, many people now can trick themselves. However many holy words you read. And in Buddha's time, it was also all the holy scriptures. But now, it's much more. For the masses. For people who are not really spiritually inclined. So the mind can think that, no, they know. Because we have read. We have read Buddha and Ramana and Rumi, Bhagavad Gita and the Bible. We have read everything. And man is from Mars and women are from Venus. And the mouse is from down in the hole in the earth. It doesn't make you any wiser. It just makes your head bigger. Ideas. It's not your understanding. It's from the outside. However many holy words you read, how many you speak, that is the next. Then you think you know. Then people know. They come together and they talk. Oh, I read this. Oh, have you read that book? Oh, have you listened to that guru? Did you hear that? And in that, they forget themselves. And sooner or later, you have to come back to yourself. All that has to be forgotten. know many, many people, they are totally involved in that. That is for the masses, the books. Even if the words are true, you will never get full in your belly by reading the menu. Impossible. You can have a whole kitchen full of menus. Reading. Oh, I know all the menus of the whole world. I'm still hungry. And that is the situation. You have to transform. You have to come closer to the fire. The only way. This is Buddha already went through what to say about now. I'm just reading these words, I'm reflecting. How is it now? It's a madhouse. However many holy words you read, how many you speak, what good will they do to you if you do not act on them? He said you have to start living the teaching. It's like being here in satsang. Being with me, it is not going to transform you if you just listen. You have to start living it. Yes, of course, in the beginning, you will only listen and it will go deeper. But you have to start living the teaching. Only that is the transformation. What good will they do you if you do not act upon them? Are you a shepherd who counts another man's sheep? It's not your sheep if you are counting somebody else's sheep. Never sharing the way. And remember, however many holy words you will speak, you will never share the way, because it's not your reality. It really doesn't matter if you share holy words or you sharing the last episode of Sex in the City. It doesn't matter. It all belongs to the mind. And when you go beyond that, it becomes silence. And then any words that comes out of that silence, it has some impact. Otherwise, it's just words. Read as few words as you like and speak fewer, but act upon the law. God, what a mess you are in, I'm thinking. Read as few words as you like, Buddha said 2,500 years ago. They had hardly any paper to read. And then it was a problem. What to say now? Everybody is lost. Even, like I said, the spirit, even the seekers of truth. At that time they were lost, and Buddha was trying to explain to them, read as few words as you like. It's nothing wrong not to study the scriptures. He can say, don't read because you don't understand. But he says, read as few as you like. There's nothing wrong with it. He's not saying read the scriptures. He's trying very gently to say read as few as you like. There's nothing wrong. The less the better. Go in, become silent. Drop the words. You are full of it. And if you were full at that time, what to say about now? in this world with so much information. And one day you will realize that there is no difference between the detective stories or the romance stories and the spiritual stories. You will have to come back to yourself and find the inner scripture. Read as few words as you like and speak fewer, but act upon the law. And what is the law? It is the Dhamma, the ultimate law, which is to follow your heart, follow your truth. That is the law. He said, forget about any words of studying, of becoming anything. Stop. Be committed. If you are here, be committed. Imbibe me, forget the scriptures. When the master is alive, he is the scriptures. You should forget all the scriptures. It just will confuse you. Buddha talks his own way. He was not liked in India when he was there. In fact, he went against the whole Indian tradition, the whole Hindu tradition. Buddha didn't include any of those thousand gods in Hinduism. And it was the Hindus who was ruling the country. They didn't like it. It was a new teaching. He didn't talk about Hanuman and Lakshmi and Shiva and Krishna and all. No. He said, go in. Like any master is, they, it's very difficult to understand them when they are alive. Then afterwards, they make it into a safe religion. Because then it's not so challenging. Any real master would say, forget any religion, forget the past. The religion is here, is alive. Eat me, drink me, look into my eyes, open your heart. This is the religion. It's instantly. It is in this moment, it's not in the words. Read as few words as you like and speak fewer, and speak even fewer. And you are so, some people, they are so confused with their talking, and they can talk and talk and talk and talk forever. And you know, sometimes when you meet those people, it's, your spirit just goes, how to get away from here, you know? And then you want to be nice. Yes, I understand. And you're my all good friend, but hello. And you feel totally drained. And some other people, you just feel uplifted. You feel happy. This, you have to listen to that, what is create in you. And some people write just few words. I love you, and it's such an impact because you know it comes from the real. And some people had 20 letters, up and down, up and down, up and down, and up and down, and up and down. And this is my love letter to you, and you can, what? Just words. Read as few words as you like and speak even fewer, but act upon the law. Such a simple sentence, teaching. Start acting, start living it. Start imbibing it. Start being committed. Take the step, get involved. Don't let it just be an idea, a dream. Make it real. give up the old ways, passion, enmity, folly. Know the truth and find peace. Share the way. Give up the old ways. And what is the old ways? Is all these ideas, desires, judgments, passions, enmity, folly. It's the whole past. And it's so difficult to let go. Because it's you. You have an idea that is me. The courage I'm talking about is to drop the past. All masters talk about dropping the past. The idea, your whole conditioning. Then the courage is, then who are you without your past? The mind will be scared. That's why you don't do it. You don't even want to touch it. When it happens, which happens here, then you are happy. You are relieved. Because then you are there, but not your stinking past. It means you are clean, you are innocent, you are just a human being, you are just consciousness, you are just presence. Then you feel relieved. It's like a cleansing. This has to be very conscious. You have to die to the past the whole time. Because the habit is so in you that you are carrying it around unnecessarily on your shoulders. And I go on reminding you are not the past. But it cannot just be in the words. You have to drop it. And dropping the past, you can drop all your dark sides, all your bad habits, all your trickiness, everything can be gone. Then, out of consciousness, out of awareness, you can start practicing new ways. Living new ways. But you have to do it consciously. It doesn't come by itself. Give up the old ways. And when you give up the old ways, when you give up the past, you don't know what will happen. And it's so much more safe to know. But in that not knowing is also the innocence, the childlike innocence of being in the moment spontaneously. You don't know. This is the two ways. Either your spirit can be excited. Wow. Anything can happen. Let's go for adventure. Or the mind can become afraid and hold back. Give up the old ways, passion, enmity, folly. Know the truth and find peace. And you will only know the truth if you give up the old ways. If you let go of the past. It's the only way. Otherwise, maybe it comes in glimpses. Know the truth and find peace. And when you know the truth, when you are worthy or be shown the truth, then peace will come like a shadow. Peace and truth is the same thing. The truth is liberating. For your heart, for your soul. The truth is very scary for the ego, for your mind. Because it means transformation. It means a challenge. But for your reality, for your heart, for your soul, it's a delight. Know the truth and find peace. Share the way. The last thing Buddha says, share the way. Now you can share the way, not before. Then it's only words from your ideas. Know when the transformation, when you have become truth yourself, when you have peace, clarity, then you can share the way. That happens spontaneously. But remember, to share the way doesn't mean that you share anything, even in words. You will be a sharing. Buddha talked for 40 years. Ramana Maharshi was sitting in silence for 40 years. Many people ask Ramana, oh, and silent saints, why don't you talk? Why don't you share? And Ramana said, I am sharing. But you only understand words, which is a pity. If you become quiet, silent, you will definitely feel I'm sharing. That is the fragrance of the Buddhas. It's not in the actions, it's not in the words. It is the fragrance. Allow yourself to relax into that place in yourself, where everything is quiet, peaceful. Soft, relaxed, at ease. Since we are in northern Thailand now, I mean on the outside, otherwise, who knows where we are? We are. I want to share some local music with you. Local traditional music from Chiang Rai. Thank you, I hope you enjoy. May everybody be happy.